Do we want to leave that door open? Doesn't worry me.
Yeah, leave it open.
Leave it open. That's good.
Yeah. So, Kate just came back from school camp. Two nights.
Oh, that's right. You said a couple of weeks ago that you were going to go there.
School camp. Yeah, with my youngest, Barney's 10, and grade 3-4 they were, 26 of them. 23 of them? Oh,
grade 3, 4, what's the...
10 years old. 9, 10. Yeah, they're good though because you can still tell them what to do and they listen.
They take mobile phones with them?
No, no one's got a mobile at that age. Yeah. No one's got a mobile.
Oh, that's good.
And so the big thing was where you're going to sleep because they have a schoolhouse, which is an old one-person schoolhouse. So
you're going
country.
To say it is school?
No, it's an old schoolhouse that was functioning in the 70s probably.
Right.
And they closed a lot of them down because there were several sieges that took place in the 70s where nutty blokes would go with a gun and take the teacher hostage with the kids. Yeah, this happened in the 70s two or three times, and so they closed a lot of the single teacher schoolhouses down and merged them. So this one's near Phillip Island in Victoria. And so
turned into a camp.
Turned into a camp.
Yeah, what's it called? Camp.
It's Glen Forbes. That's the place where
Glen Forbes.
Glen Forbes.
Where are we going? Glen Forbes.
Glen Forbes. And there's no shop or anything. There used to be a shop, not anymore.
Who does it? How do you get food?
You gotta bring it with you.
You cook everything?
Yeah, we cook it. Yeah, we had fish and chips one night. Went to Phillip Island.
Was it?
Only two. Yeah, we bring it. We bought all lasagna.
You bought bread for...
The teachers bring a big thing of like, yeah. I cooked bacon and eggs one day.
Yeah.
We cooked pancakes the next day.
How many kids?
23 or 24 maybe.
That's all right.
It's a lot of pancakes.
A lot of pancakes. Pancakes are good.
Oh, kids love pancakes.
I love pancakes.
Oh, I had them yesterday. Don't worry about that.
Pancakes and waffles.
Oh, yum. Yum.
Anyway,
the big thing is where you're going to sleep because the kids sleep in tents. The teachers have to sleep in a tent out there to keep an eye on the kids. And then the parents either go in the schoolhouse, which is you don't want to go to because that's where all the sick kids and upset kids gravitate towards in the night. So my wife was in there once. She had like over 20 kids coming. That's not the whole...
Good kid.
We want to sleep in here. It's raining.
I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm scared. Yeah. Blah, blah. But then there's the bunkhouse. Which is behind, and it's really quiet.
And that's an old school room or something?
Yeah, it's an old storage shed that's been turned. Yeah. We've got bunk beds in there. Yeah. And that's where I always angle for. I've done it before. And me and there were two other older dads. We were old dads, basically. And one dad said, well, I should be in the bunkhouse because I snore. And the other one said, well, I snore really badly. And then I said, I snore and I've got a mask. So I'm going to the bunkhouse.
So you got
I don't want to scare the kids. They come in, they're homesick, and they see a guy with like an elephant mask.
Like a Darth Vader.
My God! It's getting worse and worse, his nightmare.
Yeah, he had a huge snout and he was making a grunting noise. He was an alien.
So I didn't have such a bad sleep. Not at all.
That's good.
Yeah.
Will you continue to do it into secondary school?
No, you can't in secondary. No, they won't. They don't ask for parent volunteers in secondary.
Because some things have happened
on school camps.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember going on a school camp and the teachers drank.
Yeah.
They got on the booze.
They get a little bit carried away late at night.
But now there's no alcohol. You can't.
And no alcohol at primary school. But why don't they let parents go in secondary school ones?
Nah, they just don't. They just don't. It's just all... That's primary school. You, as a parent, you can't even enter the school without signing in at a high school, whereas primary school, you just wander in and kick the footy with the kids at pick up and drop off. But at high school, you can't go on the campus. It's all controlled.
That's probably a good thing.
It's probably a good thing, yeah. And also, the kids don't want you there anyway. Primary
school. How old is your eldest?
15.
What year is that? You're 8?
Year 10.
Oh, so he's gone through the year 9 horrors, has he?
Year 9 was always the horror year.
They send them away when they just, their hormones are exploding.
That's right. Some schools send them to the country for six months.
For 6 months, and they have to fend for themselves, which I think is a good thing.
Oh, it's a great thing. We on this camp, we went on a tour of a mine. So Wonthaggi, which is an old mining town.
Yeah.
And we've done a gig there at the Wonthaggi Workers Club.
Oh, yes.
Remember the Workers Club and the whole interest... To the mine, the entrance to the club is like a mine with all pickaxes and stuff. Remember that? You walk down the corridor?
Yeah. I remember feeling just like I was in a mine.
Yeah. Anyway, we go on this tour of the mine and it's taken by an old miner, like an old gruff bloke takes you on the tour.
Mm.
It's amazing. You go really deep down to the mine.
Claustrophobia?
Oh, yeah. And you go...
You walk down?
Yeah, you walk down and then you get a... little train thing out, but you walk down into it.
Because you auditioned to be one of the guys who
Beaconsfield Miners.
Yeah, so you would have been pretty experienced with the whole deal.
Yeah, well, I was worried about collapsing, but anyway, I was there, I was ready to go, and the old guy goes, have you got any questions? And this kid goes, kids of today, he goes, can you speed this up a bit? I need to go to the toilet.
Oh, that's... Poor guy, that's all,
I know.
That's all he does. Did I tell you when I went to the Underground City in Edinburgh?
No, yeah, that, I think you've mentioned it.
That's fantastic. It's yeah. really, it's like a there are streets and there are and then they're taking into rooms where they go, you know, whatever period it was, the like 50 people died in this room.
Oh my God.
And it's rumored that if you come here at the wrong time, a small girl appears up in the corner up there in period costume crying, and just as they're talking about that, a guy walks up to you behind you and goes, "Woo!"
No.
You go, "That's pathetic." And then I said to Bob Franklin, "Did that scare you?" He goes, "Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, scared me.
But it's fantastic.
Oh, I love a good tour. I love a tour.
I did. I've done Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah, the Jack the Ripper tour, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
I did Harry Potter World, Harry Potter Studio.
Hang on, that's not a tour.
That's a tour. There was a person taking us on tour.
Of what?
And saying that's Harry's wand and that's Hermione's, of the studios where they filmed it.
Yeah, come on. It's got to be like historical. It can't be. It's not like I did. What did I do? I did the
Tower of London.
Universal Studios.
That's not historical. We did that. That's where Jay Leno parks his car. Whatever.
That's where I was getting over jet lag and I decided to drink a whole lot of water. And then it got me on the back lot. I was on the train tour and had to go to the toilet really badly.
Oh.
Did I tell you the story? I think I did.
No.
I had to go to the toilet really badly and I couldn't. And I got to King Kong. It was killing me. So I went through King Kong, went through Psycho.
Yeah.
And got to the end of Psycho. And then, and luckily I was in the last carriage, at the back of the last carriage, and I did it in a bottle.
Oh.
Oh, then we went around.
It's a new attraction at
What's that show, Housewives?
Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Housewives. We went around that set and they were all looking one way and I was urinating the other.
Where are you going on that sheer tour? I'm pretty sure I saw Glenn Robbins weeing in a bottle.
Anyway, didn't need to talk about that, but I did.
Okay, here's the music. Woo!
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related, and now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, and welcome to the podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we get two topics and we're going to work out how they're related. It's pretty simple.
They are related, but how do we get them? We get them from
Sam,
who was, I wonder if Sam works for, who would she work for?
Google or somewhere like that.
She worked for Google.
She's probably
Jeeves,
a deep search engine.
Yeah, she's a.
Maybe she's Yahoo. She's just got nothing to do.
Without overthinking, maybe, yeah.
Maybe she's right. Uber Eats at night. I don't know what she does.
I've been using it for. Well, let's just be honest here. Sam, and there's the other one that we're not allowed to say. Is that correct? We're not allowed to say who.
Courtney, the producer.
No, we're not allowed to say Siri.
Siri. You've been using Siri.
I've been spelling.
Oh, for spelling.
It's great. When you get to Word, you just go, Siri, how do you spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? And she does it really slowly. And, for example, now, Sam's very good at it too. Ask Sam how to spell a hard word.
Oh, really?
Go for alcohol's a hard word to spell.
Oh, okay, spell alcohol.
Alcohol is spelled A-L-C-O-H-O-L.
Yeah, well done, Sam.
Well done, Sam. See?
Get us a beer, Sam.
Two beers. Actually, I'll have a gin and tonic.
You know, occasionally Siri has jokes. My kids do this. They go, it's a Lord of the Rings joke. Sam, how do you get to Mordor? Which is a place in Lord of the Rings. And Siri answers back, I'm going to have to ask Gimli and get back to you.
Yeah, because
which one of the dwarfs?
They'd have to be prepared. Imagine if you were Sam or Siri's writer, because they'd go, "Here's what we've had this week. We need a joke for this week.
Yeah,
we need something to do with Married at First Sight.
Yeah,
and we need something with you know Dougal.
Yeah, with a movie, the Captain Marvel movie or something like that. Out of the moment. Yeah.
Sometimes she does go, "Oh, you are very." She's a little sarcastic.
Yeah,
which I quite like.
Yeah, I like it too.
But anyway, we deal with Sam. What? So Sam would be. Hang on, why are we talking about this? I don't know.
I don't know. What are our topics?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Testicles in the Bible.
We've never in all our time, we've never gone down a
biblical path.
Oh, I was going to say
testicle path.
Okay, Bible.
Have you read the Bible?
No. Can you get the Bible on audiobook?
Hey, that's a really good question. Yeah, you must be able to get. Sam, can you get the Bible on audiobook?
Yes, you can get the Bible on an audiobook. I have a version here. Weird actor David Suchet reads it.
I like James Earl Jones to read it. Some of the great.
Have you read the Bible?
No. I went
Did
to
you
church.
Go to Sunday school?
Yes. Mum and Dad were Church of England. They still go to church.
I'm Church of England. And
do you go to church as a kid?
Well, I think mum.
The big ones?
Where do you get baptized?
Yeah.
Then you get confirmed, don't
confirmed?
You? Confirmed? Because I always reckon baptized, ticket to heaven. Confirmed, business class.
Oh, really? Well, you know, my brothers, two older brothers got confirmed.
Yeah.
And they were such trouble that the vicar said to mum, don't worry about the other two. They'll be right.
They'll be right.
Well, we went to church up until the age of 12 or 13 at least, because mum and dad were, you know, yeah, no, Church of England. Not that they ever talked about God around the house. And I said to dad the other day, who's 80-something, so you still go to church? He goes, yeah, I don't know about all that God stuff, but it's good community. So, and for old people it is. It's a great community.
I agree.
For them.
Yeah. I mean, you look now when people, let's get a little bit serious here, that there is the religion doesn't play a big part in the community. It does, but it's not as much as it did.
Not as it did in the 50s.
People would turn to religion to answer the unanswerable and have some sort of faith.
Well, this is what I always say. If you're living in a mud hut in Afghanistan and there's terrible war and famine, you'd want to believe in a God and say this is happening for a reason. But if you're living like we live, you go,
I believe in my iPhone.
I don't believe in God.
Yeah, I can
God.
Do a little kid. Yeah. What do you do?
No,
what,
I'm what an atheist. I don't believe in any of it.
I have a bet both ways. I'm agnostic.
Oh, you're agnostic. Just in case you get to heaven, I'm not.
I'll call you.
Yeah, call me.
Hey, Dave, Mr. Atheist. It's not
real.
Bad up here. And
it's
I'm
real.
Just going to say banana milkshakes everywhere.
Oh.
Donuts.
Yum. Chips.
Chips.
Hamburgers. Pizza. So I don't know. But. Yeah, we went a lot, and there was always talk about the Bible. But how funny is this? Dad said they go to church, and now there's a homeless bloke sleeping on the steps. Sometimes they have to step over the homeless bloke to get into church, where the vicar talks about being good to people. And Dad goes, there's a bloody homeless bloke on the step.
Yeah.
Be good to him. So
there's always Bibles in. Do they still have Bibles in hotels?
Yes. Yes, they do.
That's a requirement.
Yeah, that is weird that they still do that, but they still do it. I don't know if you go to the really trendy boutique ones where they have them, but definitely in your old school.
I like what Ross Noble used to do when we'd go into a hotel room. He'd get pull it out, and then he'd get the Bible, and he'd write in the front of it, signed Jesus, enjoy. Enjoy.
Good one. Yeah. But, you know, the Bible has got some pretty good stories in it.
Well, that's the thing. You can always learn from a good story, whether it's, you know, and some of the quotes from the Bible are still, if you look into them, there's good message and anyway, whatever gets you through, whatever, you know, but because don't start having a crack at me in terms of stuff that I don't believe in. But if there's something, you know, because do you still have people come and knock on the door?
Yeah, get the Jehovah's.
Yeah,
and I always think of Brad Oakes' routine when he goes, "Why don't you split up and do both sides of the street? What are you in pairs for?"
That's good.
It's a great joke. But also Jehovah's, because, you know, Kate Langbrook was brought up as Jehovah, friend of the show,
and she
left at 18, but her parents were born into it. So a lot of those people are born into that religion, and so they. But you know, the Jehovah's believe that I think it's 30,000 people are chosen to go to heaven, and that's it. There's a cutoff. And those 30,000 have already been chosen.
So what's the point?
Yeah, so that's what I say to them when they come to the door. You know, that you believe in the chosen ones. Don't you? Haven't they already gone? Haven't they already been chosen? What do you do? What are you worrying about?
Well, you can go on standby.
Yeah. Purgatory, which looks like a departure lounge in the Wagga Airport.
Because you probably are getting points by reading the Bible. You're getting, like for frequent flyer points.
What about the Mormons? Have you had the Mormons?
Mormons, what's the state they live in?
Utah, isn't it? Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
They, I mean, if you hear about how the Mormon religion was founded, it's quite bizarre. An American guy who was like, he had a criminal record and stuff, and he was done for fraud or something like that. But he believes that when Jesus died, he didn't go to heaven. He came to America and talked to the Native Americans, and then they wrote it all down on this gold tablet, and then. Then he went back to.
They all have a story at their heart, and if you look at any of the stories from the Bible or from any religion, you're going, really?
I know. Really? I was in
Scientology. I mean, aliens.
I know. And apparently, that's when that director who's in Scientology, I can't remember his name.
Hubbard. No.
No, the director of Crash, whoever directed that movie, Crash. Who directed Crash? Sam, the movie. It's a famous director, and he was a high up Scientologist, and. It's a great movie. You see that movie Crash? It was a few years ago now.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's a number of stories that are...
Yes, interwoven. What's the director?
Paul Haggis.
Thank you, Sam. Paul Haggis was quite hype in Scientology, but it's, when he got to the level where they all revealed that it's aliens, he went, oh, no, come on.
Hang on
no,
a second.
I'm out.
Whoa. Time out, guys.
Whereas, say, Tom Cruise got to the level and went, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. I accept that.
Yeah.
John Travolta, yeah, no worries. But Paul Haggis went, oh, no, come on, guys. I was doing a gig in...
not for the Scientologists.
In Bunbury. Bunbury? Way down Western Australia.
Yeah, I've been down there. Done yeah. gigs there.
I think it's below Bunbury. I think it's even further below. Anyway, they've got the longest...
Bunker Bay. No.
Who has the longest...
Margaret River.
And it's the longest pier in the Southern Hemisphere. Who has the longest jetty? Sam. Gee, Sam's working overtime. Who has the longest jetty in the Southern Hemisphere? It's in Western Australia.
Busselton, Western Australia.
It has this really long pier, right? And so I went to check into my motel, and it was a really dodgy motel, and there was a guy playing really loud music next door, and I'm just like... Can't be bothered. You know when you lie on the bed, you're like, am I getting nits or fleas? I don't want to lie here. Yeah. So I started walking around the town, and I saw this jetty, and I thought, oh, I'll go for a little walk. I go to walk to the end, and it goes for like miles.
When you started, could you see the end?
No, you couldn't see the end.
What were you thinking?
I just thought I'd go for a walk, and I got right to the end, and they got park benches, and I sat on, I was so exhausted, and these two Mormons came up to me,
and they
said, We've noticed you wandering around the town. Oh. Do you want to talk about Jesus? I said, if you give me a lift on your bike, I'll convert.
I would have thought you might have been taking a bit of a long walk off the end of the pier.
But I talked to them all the way back, and the guy goes,
of course you would have.
Yeah, you've been watching South Park because you know one of because they're from those guys are created that are from Utah or something like that, and they go through the whole Mormon religion in one episode.
I was playing golf one day and playing by myself, and then the three guys came up behind me and said, you want to make a four? And then I started hitting really bad shots, and I went, oh, Jesus Christ, Christ, Jesus, you, oh, Christ. And then I said, then what do you do? And they said that they were with the Christian Association, that they were here for some sort of convention. And I've been...
Sorry to blaspheme.
Yeah, blaspheming horribly on the golf course.
Sorry to blaspheme. All right, well, we'll cap it off the Bible. What was the other one?
Latin, bigger, yeah, well, the other one was men's testicles.
Oh, I've got some of them. You got some of them? Now, my wife's got them in a jar at home. Boom, boom. My wife got them in a jar. Oh, God, surely I can think of a good testicle joke. Surely. Oh, by the end of this, I'll try and think of an old joke about testicles.
No, I know one.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Where you have to help me, though. It's where the guy goes to the dentist.
Oh.
And he starts... Oh, what is it?
Oh, I don't know.
And he puts the thing in his mouth, and then he grabs him by the balls and says, let's both just be gentle on one another. Or something.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. Yes, he grabs the dentist by the balls and says, let's be gentle with each other.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, right.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, you know, testicles are why? Okay, here's a question. You always ask me questions. Here's a question. Why are they kept outside of the body?
Keep them cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I often wonder that surely when you hit 50 and you probably don't have a good need because they're for reproducing, right?
2 million sperm. 200 million. That's the famous – sorry, you finish and I'll come back.
No, I was saying why at the age of 50 do they not just go back into your body? Because you don't need them anymore really, do you? You're not going to have any more kids.
If you swim in cold water?
Yeah.
They'll go back in your body.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
They go right back in?
You swim in really, really cold water with a wetsuit on?
Mm.
Your penis will and your balls will go into a state that you've never seen them like before. They look like it looks like an alien.
Really?
You look down at your penis and it looks up at you and goes, "What the hell was that all about?"
Oh, okay.
So the testicles, the joke, another joke. You should know this. What is a famous comeback involving testicles?
No, I don't know. I might know when you say it.
So you heckle me.
And say something funny.
Yeah, we'll do a Goliath or something.
Yeah.
And then I would say, 200 million sperm and you have to be the one that got through.
Can't help fucking bad luck. Yeah. Go home and wash your shirt, mate. It's been a turding all day. I'll come down to McDonald's and kick the broom out of your hand, so shut up.
I don't
go to the docks and kick the cocks out of your mouth. Shut up. I know a lot of them, but I rarely use them. I just try and respond in the moment.
Yeah.
To if someone said, you know what, you know the thing is, someone says heckles you repeat it so everyone can hear
it. And then how inane it sounds.
Yeah, and you go, oh, you said, what did you say? Say something funny. okay.
Yeah, I used to impersonate them. Like, hey, Keith, say something funny. Oh, you're not funny, mate. Oh, that was really funny. And everyone just, you know. But anyway, good. Try another one. I always go, try, have another crack.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Do you want to get up here, mate?
Yeah.
Want to get up here?
We did a routine with about Heckler Challenge.
Oh, yeah, right.
With Russell Gilbert and Trevor Marmalade. And I was the comedian who gets heckled. And we had a commentator.
That's right. I remember that. That was funny.
And you can see towards the end of it, I go, anyway, if you think you're so good, why don't you get up and do better? Oh, no, it's the cardinal sin. He's handed over the microphone. This is a tragic moment. He could go down here. Anyway.
It's true. Paul made that mistake.
Testicles.
Testicles. Well, I was thinking testicles. I had an ultrasound on them once. Because I had this thing, it was a long time ago. I think it was called epididymitis.
Right.
And it's the tubes, they got irritated. And so you have to take like antibiotics. And it was very painful. So the tubes that go from the testicles.
Because they are in themselves, the tubes. If you just touch, you flick them, like ever so lightly, it's intense pain, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, and when they get infected, it's really painful. And so the doctor just said, it was that classic thing where he goes, drop your pants. He puts a rubber glove and he holds them. He goes, yeah, does that hurt? Yeah, all right. Yeah, and then anyway, he sent me off to get an ultrasound.
Oh, dear. And on your balls.
On your balls. With a Russian guy. And he.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
You want a Russian guy. And no. So he just puts all this lube on the area and then puts this ultrasound wand thing on it. Quite hurt. And then you could see your testicles up on their screen. He goes, you have lover's balls. Look at that. Oh, they're very good condition. He goes, you know, I have to hurry up. He said they were in very
balls. Lover's balls.
I think
they're in good nick.
Yeah, they're in good nick.
Okay, got plenty of sperm.
Plenty of sperm going around. Yeah. And then he said, I have to wait up. I've got a pregnant woman coming in next. Oh, I hope you clean the instrument. Anyway, I was all fine. This was years ago.
It would look like one of those Melway, one of those street directory maps. Yeah, all veins and
yeah, giant baked beans, kind of. Yeah, what an experience. But it is interesting when you get kicked that it really hurts.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, it's obviously because it's to protect.
Mm.
So I have to make that part. You know, if you can't sleep, a good thing for men to do, obviously, is to cup your testicles.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I have to tell your wife.
You know why?
Cup me testicles.
You know why? Because if you're lying in the cave, i.e. caveman, we're all cavemen, okay?
We're all cavemen.
We're derived from cavemen,
yeah,
okay?
Sure.
That you have time to there's no threat to you because you don't need your hands. You can if you place them over. I'm not explaining this very well. Over your testicles, it means you're safe. And if you're safe, then you can go to sleep.
Ah, interesting.
Maybe you've already killed the
bison.
Killed the bison.
Interesting.
Do you know one always hangs lower than the other?
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah, that's normal. The doctor said that's normal to me.
The only time, because you were checked up.
I asked. Well, yeah, when I had that thing, he said, he goes, yeah, one hangs low. That's normal.
What's that Hitler song?
Hitler, he only had one ball. The other was hanging on the wall. Churchill. Da-da-da-da-da. But that was like a propaganda song to put.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't actually know if Hitler only had one ball. That was like a propaganda thing the British did.
How do we get back at bloody Hitler?
Yeah,
mate,
he's only got one ball.
How about he's only got one knacker?
He's got one nut.
You want to write it? Yeah, I'll write it. And the other ones as well. Give Churchill, like do his as well.
Well, I was talking to a guy who had one testicle removed for cancer reasons.
And they put a false one in.
Yeah, they put a silicone one in, I think. Yeah.
Which is nice. Are we heading toward... The only time...
Yeah.
My dad ever hit me.
Yeah.
I remember one day, I was young, and he was
leaning over. You did the classic bang your head into his nuts?
No, he was leaning forward in the morning to pick the newspaper off the ground, I think.
Yeah.
And I saw, I didn't know what they were, hanging down.
Oh, no, the plums.
And I kicked them.
You kicked them?
I kicked them, bang.
How old were you?
I must have been about 5, 6, or 7. And he turned, and I thought, this will be funny, just because they were just, and I kicked, and then he turned around and he kicked me up the ass so hard. And that's the only time he ever.
Well, he ever hit you.
You know what? Fair enough.
He got a shock too.
Yeah.
You got a shot.
But I thought it was me, you know, early age of trying to write comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Kick him in the balls.
This will be this will funny. Be, this will go down.
Whoa.
Well. All right. So I'm – have you got any idea? This is a hard one.
Bible and testicles?
Bible and testicles.
I'll have a crack. I'll have a crack.
Do we –
well, let's hear the audio version of the Bible from that actor.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? I'm going to download that. That would actually be not a bad way to experience the Bible.
It wouldn't be bad.
Who was the guy in prison? Oh, that guy was taken. Well, I heard it on a podcast, actually. This guy was taken captive by Somali pirates. And he was in captive for 3 years, and he read the Bible twice, he said, while he was in.
But is there... there's the nothing Bible, to then do. There's then there's another testament. Isn't there two versions of the Bible? The
First
Testament.
And the Second Testament. Yeah, they're both part of the Bible, aren't they?
So they're in the... that's in.
They're
so.
In the they're in the book, aren't they? And some religions like are more the First Testament, and some are more the Second Testament. So all those Bible bashing... you know, Pentecostal or First Testament. They're all like that.
Oh, that's what they're...
yeah, yelling and screaming and, man...
I hope we haven't said anything inappropriate.
Oh, we'll worry about
if
it.
If you are of that...
of that faith. Sensibility. They'll let us know.
Yeah, please, we apologise. We know not what we do.
I think the Bible was the first place to ever mention the word testicles. I reckon that's where it first appeared. Maybe there wasn't a word for it, and Jesus said, "Come to me. I'm going to look after all prostitutes, thieves, and people with testicles."
Maybe knackers is Latin.
Maybe knackers is Latin.
Okay, I'm going to go that this is weird, but in the Bible somewhere it says that if a child, because what happens is kids' voices in the choir break.
That's right.
And they,
well, the testicles drop.
They castrate them.
Oh,
keep,
yes.
To keep their voice high. I reckon in the Bible it says, "The purest of voice shall be attained through nipping off the nuts." Of course they say that in Latin.
Of course.
Because you associate choirs with... with
yeah, rhythm. It's true. It's true. And they have those...
And you associate high voices with testicles.
Castrates. Yeah, yeah. Okay. What is the answer?
In the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Genesis, Jacob with his son Joseph describes a practice of swearing an oath while holding his testicles. From Genesis, "If now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal loyally and truly with me." The Hebrews are understood to have had a practice of holding someone's genitals while making a solemn declaration of and testicles.
So in Judge Judy...
you swear on the nuts. How's you that security guard? Come over here, drop your pants, mate. Is this part of the job? Yeah, yeah. Swear on these.
So wow. In theory, you reach down and have a bit of a hole and go, yeah, well...
I swear on that. Yeah.
Because you can swear on... what do you swear on now? On
your heart.
Your heart.
And I think if you're not religious, yeah, you do the Bible.
Dib, dib, dib.
You know, to the Bible.
You'd be a Boy Scout. You'd be doing...
yeah.
You're seeing, what were you? Rover.
Yes. All of them.
Yeah.
Scout, Cub Scout, Adventurer, and Rover.
Not a bad thing. I don't... women, in a way, could do something similar.
Similar, I suppose.
That's where you're putting your balls on the line. Where does that come from?
Oh, maybe that's where it comes from. Putting your balls on the line.
Putting your balls on the line in a court where you go, "Here's my balls. If I tell a lie..." And they'd probably pull the gavel out and give him a bang.
You give him a whack.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, I never...
I never. Anyway, for the male listeners out there, make sure you... I mean, you're meant to check body parts.
Yeah.
And...
check your testicles.
And gently roll them around. Because you know what it's like? You ever seen like the guys who are like quite meditative? They have a couple of balls in their hand, like real balls?
Yeah, or rosary beads. Yeah.
And they just roll them.
Yeah.
When you're in your bed tonight, here's what you do.
Check your...
put your balls in your hand, roll them around a bit, and think of Somehow Related.
Yeah.
See, I've burnt that into their mind now. Every time they think, they touch their balls, they're going to think of you and I talking about Somehow Related.
And women can check their breasts for lumps.
Yes.
But you don't have to think about us. That's cool. Just do it for medical reasons. Just,
and it's sailing it's a bit creepy. Water. Sailing yeah, it's very creepy.
We can't get involved.
But well, yeah, we can't get involved. But anyway,
men can get breast cancer too. It's very rare, but they can't get it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I've got breasts, so I should check them. That's a very good point.
Because some men have larger
breasts than women.
No, larger testicles than penis.
Yeah, well, don't talk about me like that. That's a personal thing I've told you in private. And they seem to get bigger as you get older, and your penis shrinks.
It's like ears.
Yeah,
ears
true.
Get bigger.
I know.
I wonder if you...
It was always horrific going to a public pool when you were a kid and an old guy walked out with huge balls. You're like, oh, my God.
You can't.
You can't take that thing away. You can't take that image away.
No. Yeah.
And you, even though you're like six or seven or whatever, you're like, oh, my God, is that?
That's a creature from another planet. Nudity what is that thing?
Public pools, the guys just brushing their teeth or doing their hair.
But some guys.
I love it, though.
I've told you that story. I know, but probably. No,
what story is that?
When I was doing Kath and Kim up in Queensland and I went in the sauna.
No. Okay. I don't think I've heard this story. Strap yourself in.
I think I probably have.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay. So at Kath and Kim, filming in Queensland, was getting a massage, went into the gym and saw a spa there. And I said, oh, would love to have a spa before I get my massage. She goes, but I don't have my bathers. She goes, doesn't matter. It's a men's gym. You go in the nude. So I get into the spa by myself in the spa, in the nude. And then, and it's one of those ones with the ladder. So I'm in there in the nude, and then the whole crew comes in, all the male crew, all wearing bathers. And the water's bubbling around, and I'm going, oh, no. So at some point, I'm getting too hot.
Yeah.
I've been here for a while. I go, guys, got to be honest with you.
I go, you haven't told this story before. Yeah.
And which isn't so bad, but you know what was bad? It was the fact that I had to climb a ladder.
That is awful.
I climb the ladder and they go, oh, no. Oh, no. Anyway, so I go into the sauna and the light, it sounds like the start of a porn movie. The light was blown in the sauna, so it was dark.
Yeah.
Right? He's in there in the nude. I'm in there. One other guy, right, who I didn't know.
Yeah.
We get to chatting and he goes, what are you doing up here? And I said, oh, we're filming a TV show, Kath and Kim. He goes, yeah, I haven't heard of it. And he goes,
what?
No, but as in, fair enough. Fair enough, that's all right, I don't mind. And he said, and who are you? And I said, Glenn Robinson, you know, I can't pitch you, I can't. Because we couldn't see each other.
Yeah, right.
It was dark. So we then, oh God, it gets worse. So then we get out of the sauna and we both step out in the nude at the same time.
Yeah.
And then he says to me, oh, now I recognise you. And then I say, that's funny because most people recognise my face. And he didn't laugh and walked off. So
what?
He thinks that I've said, you've recognised my penis and not recognised my face. It was a bad day. I've had the crew upset with me. I've had this guy in the sauna upset with me.
Terrible.
And I went and got a massage and I was so tense. I needed a massage.
Spas are, remember, you know, Grubby.
Oh, yeah. I worked with him on the radio. Yeah.
Well, he told me this story. He's told this story a lot. When he was living in Warrandyte, he would invite couples over, and they're not swingers. And they would get in the spa in the nude.
Yeah, right. They would get in there first.
Him and his wife, yes. Right? And they get in there, and they say, "If you want to take your clothes off, you take your clothes off. You get your bathers on, whatever."
Yeah.
So he gets in with his wife, and then the new next door neighbor comes over, and she goes, "Oh, great, get her gear off," and gets in the spa. Then her husband turns up, this tradie, younger guy. Yeah. He goes, "Oh, great," and he takes his clothes off, and he's got the biggest thing you've ever seen. And then he goes, I couldn't get out of the spa. I had to stay in there the whole night. Couldn't get out.
Because
Is that the story? That's the story, I think.
Oh, no, I thought there's another story where some other people turned up and no one knew, and that was kind of a split between the wearers and the non-wearers.
Yeah.
But, I think that's tough, isn't it?
Oh, nude spa. Oh,
but if you do turn up and you're a guy somewhere like that and everyone else is in the nude and you've got your bathers on, I always say, is anyone around here offended by a really large penis? Because if you are, speak up.
Step away.
Yeah.
Step away.
And then I usually follow up with, you can make jokes about a large penis, but you try living with one 24/7. It's not easy.
So I'll keep my bathers on.
I'll keep my bathers on. It's just not fun. Anyway, we've never been down that road, but I think we handled it.
I think we did it well.
I don't think we went too far.
No.
But hey, cup your balls tonight, guys and girls. Do whatever you want to do. Yeah. And think of somehow related.
Exactly.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.